אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 505 את מאמר ירושת הארץ.
We're reading the article Inheritance of the Land from the Book of Sages Fruit, page 241. Page 241, Inheritance of the Land. As we see, this article came from a manuscript, and we'll read it even though that it's not arranged in an orderly fashion. Any sentence by Baal HaSulam can give us some kind of illumination. Israel will not return to their land until they are all in one bundle. And why? That's clear why. Because the sin of the tree of knowledge is that in the past we were one soul, suppose one circle, and then the circle it divided into many, 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 many other souls, particular souls, meaning this is the first state, this being the second state, the shattering, or the sin of the tree of knowledge. And the third state, in Hebrew, Matzav HaGimel, is the final correction, Gemar HaTikun, where all of us, all of these points, and I'm leaving these points. You see, I'm not saying that it's like here in the first state. I'm leaving the points, the dots, all of them, all in all, will become as one. That being the correction. That they unite between themselves that way. And what follows is that where we say that they're connected, and what happens is that when they connect, then the light reveals among them. Here we have the light of Nefesh. Here we have no light. They're only drawing the inner light, which revives them. And here it's times 620. 620 times, which is the light of Yechidah.
ברור. מה? איפה? עץ הדעת.
The tree of knowledge. Okay, tree of knowledge.
בסדר. לכן,
therefore, Israel will not be able to return to their land. Land is a desire, Eretz in Hebrew. It comes from desire, land. They can't reach the desire of Israel, Yashar Kel, that this is the first desire, and here it's the broken desire. And here is we have the corrected desire. So of course Israel will not return to their land until they all be in one bundle, that all of us will connect once again, we will become once again one soul out of all these parts, and you can ask about anything you want. Our sages said, Israel will not be redeemed until they are all in one bundle. Two, we must understand how Israel's unity relates to redemption.
Meaning how redemption belongs to Israel, and Israel redeems to Israel. Why it's one and the same? The unity of Israel is the vessel, connection, And redemption is the light that's revealed, that appears in the vessel. Why that is the state that's considered corrected?
3. First, we should consider the matter of by what will I know, etc., for your seed will be a stranger, etc., and afterward they will come out with great substance. It is not clear how this is an answer to Abraham's question.
Meaning Abraham, the patriarch, who attained his initial state, his broken, tiny state, and also attained the end of correction, the conclusion of creation, he couldn't see how we can reach the light of Yechidah, that intensity, that level of end of correction, with these small vessels that were revealed and appeared in him and in all these people in Babylon at the time. Our place, Babylon on the face of the earth. It was a tiny place between the Euphrates and the Tigris River, less than a million people. Because in our world, the spiritual intensity is revealed in through this simple state. So he asked, how can it be that we will reach a vessel in which he can receive, reveal, discover the upper light, and the upper light will dwell in it fully? And the Creator said, don't worry, you're not seeing the entire Kli. You see your will to receive in the Avyut of Shoresh, maybe Aleph. But hang on, you're going to go into exile. And in this exile, you're going to acquire this great aviut, coarseness, and you will need to correct it, and as a result of this correction, you will reach a state where you'll have a corrected will to receive in order to bestow, and you could then receive all the light in it. That's the inheritance. When he asked, how shall I know I will inherit it? Meaning, where will you get those vessels? Out of the shattering, and then the exile in Egypt, and then you will come out of Egypt and correct this vessel, then you will discover the light in it. Clear? Clear? Everyone's quiet. Next.
Number 4, we should understand the whole matter of this creation in which man suffers, so what is it for? Could he have not delighted his creations without all that?
Another very interesting question, and we all have that complaint. If the Creator is good who does good, and he wants to do good, like a father, of course I want to do good to my children, but I have no way but to teach them how to kind of get along in life. But if I could, out of my good nature, I would do everything for them. That others would work for them and do everything for them, and they would only enjoy life, only enjoy their existence. So that's the question. If the Creator is good, who does good, and he wants to do good to everyone, he doesn't have a single evil bone in him. How could he create a world where everyone suffers for thousands of years, billions of people, from generation to generation, such suffering, such hardships, injustice, everything we have in this world, it's almost inconceivable that there could be someone who's good and benevolent, or that there is anyone who can do things in this way. That's specifically out of the fact that he has a desire and the ability maybe to do things a little differently. Look what he's done. And we should understand the whole matter of creation in which man suffers so. What is it for? Could he have not delighted his creations without all that? Meaning, I have to suffer so much in order to later enjoy something? Let it even be eternal pleasure. Eternal pleasure. Like that. So what? But for the time being, I'm suffering. Is that not a flaw in the Creator? A blemish on Him? How do you think? You're like complete righteous. Oh no, Tzvika is with me. Tell us, Tzvika.
Of course it's a flaw. What do you mean? The Creator, He's cruel. He made the Holocaust happen. You're saying He's good.
I'm not saying He's good and benevolent.
I say that He's cruel. If you have to go through so many incarnations in order to build the Kli, then it doesn't pay off. The only thing you get is trouble and problems. So how can you say that He's good and benevolent? He's good. He's not. How can you explain that?
I can't explain it.
But that's a conclusion.
Look what he's writing in part one of Study of the Ten Sefirot. What is the relationship between the work of 70 years and eternal pleasure? And there isn't a greater free gift than that. And our words of our sages are hard to understand, because the important work, our work and our prayer, is this free gift. And our sages said that the treasure of free gift is prepared only for the highest souls in the world. And the rest of their explanation is that the free gift, in the free gift there's a great deficiency, meaning shame. The shame that appears whenever one receives a free gift. And to compensate for that, the Creator created this world that will have a reality of work and exertion, so that in the next world they can receive the reward in exchange for their work and their labor. And their explanation is even stranger. What is it like? It's like a person who tells his friend, work with me for a moment, a small moment, and for that I'll give you all the pleasures and the delights of this world. Meaning, what are we talking about? If you say that we have to suffer and have to labor and then receive something in return, because then you will not feel shame, it will be yours, because it's also not clear. Why? What are you doing in this world? What kind of effort in order to obtain, to receive infinity? There's no connection between now where you're going to work and later you will receive the reward. Work in what? By doing a few good deeds, a few mitzvahs, a few prayers, whatever you can do. How can it be that by that you will acquire something eternal, infinite? Meaning that this whole thing is not so simple.
I want to ask, when people come to study Kabbalah, really, question from the heart, they come to study Kabbalah for the eternal world or to feel better in this world?
People who come to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, for the most part, wish to reveal the Creator here and now. Discover Him, reveal Him. Not that they would feel better. People who feel bad and wish to feel good don't come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Rather, it's people who want to attain, to discover. Meaning their demand is with the attainment, more in the mind than the emotion. They don't wish to simply reach a good state in life. These people don't end up in the wisdom of Kabbalah. They go to Hasidism, religion, all sorts of places. Here we have people who wish to reveal the Creator. Who is He? What is He? Who is the master of the kingdom?
Man's nature is the will to receive. He wants to enjoy.
But to feel good, I don't yearn to feel good in my pocket, in my stomach. I feel that I will feel good if I will know him, if I'll solve the question of the meaning of my life.
What stage are you talking about?
I'm talking about the stage in which people come to the wisdom of Kabbalah.
They think, to begin with, that they want to attain the Creator.
They don't know Creator or not Creator. They want to know, what's the meaning of my life? Why am I alive? But not money, not honor, not the good life, not even health. The pure wisdom of Kabbalah attracts people who wishes to know, why do people live? What's the secret of life? Who's running things here? Who is he? What is he? I want to know creation. I have a deficiency, a lack, that I'm in something and I don't know what it is. And this hollow space that I feel, it's bothering me. It's not letting me live well. That's the deficiency with which people come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Just as Baal Sulam writes in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, what is their question? What is the meaning of life? Meaning they wish to discover the meaning, the in Hebrew, the taste of life.
As בדרך יש כאן יש כאן ישנם כאן שאלות האלה.
So these questions arise on the path, and we should understand the whole matter of this creation in which man suffers. Why do I need to suffer so much? Also on the path, maybe we come because of the corporeal suffering, but very little, very few. Sorry, people who come to Kabbalah don't come as a result of the corporeal suffering, rather internal suffering. Mental, spiritual. Something is missing in their soul. The deficiency is above this world.
What I want to ask is, on our previous lesson, we said that people are frustrated about it, and it really frustrates you that you're trying to disseminate, and people, they
eat you right away.
Not even that. They want to kill you. They start mocking you and your rav and the rubbish. And what you have to do is you have to go and lay the tefillin, pray three times a day. And I don't have any answers to tell them, because the moment I open my mouth, they want to kill me. So we're such a minority. It seems to us that we might be a lot because we're all sitting here together, but we're such a minority that you see this new trend going on television everywhere, all the celebs repenting, becoming religious. So, you know, famous people, suddenly I see him putting on a kippah and he's starting to tell people about ISIS and why and how. And we can't influence anyone.
Yes, on the heels of the Messiah, that's how it is.
You're saying that we have to influence the people around us. I don't see that I can do it. How do I do it?
Why? There's a hero in quality and hero in quantity, and one is different than the other. It's written to the people of Israel, you are the fewest of the nations. We are the sons of Israel because we yearn towards the Creator, Yeshakel.
How do I make the switch?
There's no switch to make. You have to make a switch in your mind and understand that one thing you arrange correctly will transform the entire reality, like the Ari that we read about in the previous lesson. Invited his students to go through the end of correction. What? He had six students, six disciples he had. Not even a minion, not even 10.
Not only that, they take the Kabbalah, turn it into something that's false.
But it's essential that they will advance in this way, because they are the carriers of the will to receive. What do you want from them? What do you want from people on the street who hate the wisdom of Kabbalah, because they feel, subconsciously even, they feel that it speaks on the fact that they have to rid themselves of their egoistic nature. They have the same attitude towards you, just like the nations of the world have towards the Jews. natural hatred, instinctive hatred. What else? You, on top of your ego, above it, you receive a spark, a desire from a higher degree. And although this desire is small, but it's from a higher degree. So this spark that sits above your great big ego, the spark is small, but from a higher degree. That spark is called Israel, Yeshar Kel. And on that it's written, you're the fewest of the nations, meaning inside of you are included of the nations, the your totality of your ego, and that spark called Israel. If you arrange your internality correctly, everything will fall into place externally as well. For the time being, you know, you see the spark on the inside, and the rest of your desire you see on the outside. It spreads out from you outwards. That's it. Those are the nations of the world and the people of Israel with all its parties and streams. And this is all you, and you're inside of it. So I'm telling you the other way around. The more they rise against us, the stronger we become. We will grow stronger. If it weren't for the wolves, then the sheep, for example, would not be healthy. You see that when they eradicate wolves in some area, you see how all these, you know, the gazelles, the deer begin to develop illnesses and sicknesses. You have to, because one is what's created against the other. That's why I don't criticize anyone who's against me. Moreover, let it be more of that, but I will want to have the friends for which I can demand the correction, and for that I have to be grateful. I'm telling you truthfully, I hate no one. I'm not even making any calculations who's against me, you know. They're telling me there's a lot of stuff written about you, against you online and all sorts of places. Let it be. What do I need it? How does it disturb me? I need it in order to perform a better job in dissemination, in order to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah to the people of Israel and the nations of the world.
My question is, are we not missing the train? Because we're not succeeding in making a change.
I don't know. I do everything I'm within my power to do. I don't know. I succeeded more or less. I don't know. But I try. I have nothing else to do in life. I'm not retiring. Although I could have a while now. You understand? We continue. More and more and more. Look. All in all, about 20 years ago, Do you know what was with the Wizard of Kabbalah?
I worked in the laborers' union. I was afraid to say that I studied the Wisdom of Kabbalah, that I were considered crazy.
Oh, the blow of light.
I hit it.
And today?
Today I tell everyone, but no one's listening.
So another 20 years.
20 years.
God forbid, no one is to blame except for myself. Yes.
6:5. It is written in the books that the souls cannot receive the good reward for which He has created the world and the souls if they do not have a vessel ready to receive.
Meaning we need a vessel. You're saying, why is it not revealed? We're missing a vessel for the light to be revealed in. The vessel comes from the connection. And the more it's assembled from many pieces, the degree of its connection, the intensity has to be such that it fits the light. And the light has 5 degrees. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. And accordingly, we have to be in connection between us that would be suitable at least to the degree of Nefesh, both in quality and in quantity. That the Kli would be, the vessel would be similar to the light.
And the only way one can obtain that vessel is through labor and toil in observing the mitzvot, through the pressure and the struggles that one fights with the evil inclination and the numerous preventions and troubles. These afflictions and labor and Torah and mitzvot provide a vessel for the soul so it may be fit to receive all the delight and pleasure for which He has created all creations.
The Torah and mitzvot is referred to when we try to be connected with all our desires, our 613 desires, and we invite the light of reforms to connect us. Okay, clear. Dudi?
Going back to the sketch, I don't understand the yellow circle, that they're both black dots. We feel separation between us, and also there's the yellow light.
Yeah, otherwise how would I feel one without the other?
But what do you identify with? You feel both in parallel, or what? Both the suffering and also...
The gap between them give me the sensation of the light.
Both the suffering, the unity, and the gap?
I can't feel anything with one discernment. There have to be two discernments between which I feel a difference, a gap, and only this gap appears in my soul. That's how our senses work. I'm a created being. I must sense something against me, then I feel it. I remain in my big will to receive. How shall I know I will inherit it? That you will receive a very big will to receive, and this will to receive, when? How will you feel it? If this huge desire will become one, you will feel nothing in it. It has to be taken apart completely, and you feel its intensity. You feel how much it tries to run away between everyone, and then there's an internal force that comes and connects it, despite its desire to escape. And then in the gap between the two things, you feel the Creator. Otherwise, you won't feel it. That's how our technology works as well. That's how everything works. A resistor, an electrical resistor. If it weren't for its resistance, how would you feel or measure that something is going through it? The work that's performed on it by the electricity, you won't be able to do anything. We work only out of the two oppositions, plus and minus. Where do we have plus and minus here? We need to have a minus in these desires that appear as negative, and they should not be erased. What's written about how you shouldn't eradicate any tendency in a person? That we shouldn't eradicate any tendency in a person. Why? Because then we will miss out on the huge attainment that awaits everyone, specifically from all the tendencies of each and every person.
Baal HaSulam says in the freedom, the end of every inclination is to invert into very exalted knowledge.
By the light that shines on them.
And anyone who eradicates any inclination of another, by that, he causes the world to lose great knowledge and understanding, which will come at the end of the chain, because that inclination will not repeat itself ever again in any other body aside from that one.
That's how it is.
I don't understand how it all becomes one.
Don't forget that each who is growing bigger than his friend, his desire is bigger than him. So what do you want? When the good inclination cannot be with us except above the evil inclination.
Next.
Imagine to yourself. Imagine that we all connect. And each and everyone connects with the others and he dissolves in them. He's spread over everyone. He loses himself. What do we get out of this? What do we get out of this, the intensity of connection? Nothing. Meaning, where is the intensity of the connection? The previous resistance I had towards the connection, did I erase it? I had a certain resistance. Resistance, resistor. And now if I erase it, I'm done. I can't reveal anything. I must remain with the resistance towards you. And then love covers all transgressions. That is the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's a problem. Because in our world, we cancel out the coarseness. And therefore, what do we have? If you truly want to attain spirituality, you're working on the coarseness. You guard it.
And when love covered all the crimes, that very moment it covered them, like you say, at that moment we disappear.
We don't disappear.
The hatred remains valid.
Like in the students of Rabbi Shimon. What do they convert this hatred to? Love. But the fire of hatred burns inside, and on top of it, the love. Otherwise, one is not felt, cannot be felt without the other. It's a law of the vessel that cannot exist otherwise. Otherwise, you erase it. As if it goes back to being pink, I don't know, white. Everything is nice and good and pretty. What can be revealed in it? Nothing.
And then in parallel, you feel a very big rejection and also very strong proximity, closeness.
Yes, yes, totally. That's why we attain from the beginning of the line to the ending of the line. That's why we don't know what is the spiritual vessel. Finally, where does it appear? When will I reach the revelation of the light? A desire to receive. I have a desire. No, it's not arranged properly. There has to be reason, and then there has to be something above reason. Soon. This the light builds that. But we have to insist that he builds it. Item 7 or 6?
6. Now we can understand the words of Ben-Hei in the Mishnavot, who said, The reward matches the sorrow, meaning that the reward is measured by the amount of sorrow. This is perplexing, for how is one's sorrow related to one's reward?
Why should a person suffer, as he said previously? And the more he suffers, the greater the reward. That's how they measure it. So the suffering has to be below, and the reward above this suffering specifically when you reveal it above it. If you're going to eat hungry, a certain something, right? What great flavors, right? But then they disappear. Why? Because the desire disappears. But if spirituality is eternity, the desire should remain. meaning the gap between the deficiency, the sorrow, and the pleasure has to exist consistently, even grow. It works in a different way. It's opposite this world. That's why we don't know how to construct a spiritual vessel. We don't understand. You see how many times I've been speaking about it, but you know, where is it? What is it? How to assemble it? From which parts? How to arrange it? I'm still groping in the dark. Item 7.
With the above said, item 7, we can thoroughly understand that all the sorrow and labor that have been prepared in the world are to provide the vessel to receive with the good reward for labor in Torah and mitzvot.
We need nothing but vessels. The light is in absolute rest. It fills all of reality, as it always did.
Thus, naturally, the greater one's sorrow in Torah and mitzvot, the greater is one's vessel for reception of a greater reward.
Meaning, why did we have to come out of the world of Ein Sof in order to attain the upper light fully? Meaning, so that we would attain the desire to receive towards the light, towards the Creator. The same way there's the love of the Creator towards us, and then we will disclose Him in the world, in Na'al Chai.
Now we can understand the Creator's answer to Abraham's question, but by what will I know, etc. Abraham's question was because he saw in the Spirit of His Holiness the great amount of good reward that Israel is destined to receive by inheriting the land, since observing the mitzvot depends entirely on the land. This is why Abraham, the patriarch, wondered, by what will I know that I will inherit it? That is, how will I know that the children of Israel will be rewarded with such great reward and such great abundance? From where would they have big vessels fit for such wondrous reception?
Meaning, where is that great desire called the land of Israel? Where in this desire, it's not geography, it's desire. That in this desire called Yashar Kel, the Creator or the upper light appear in all their grandeur. How do we attain it? Because we're missing out on the desire. So only by shatterings and the additional deficiencies that are revealed from the exile of Egypt and onward, and the destruction of the first and second temple, the construction of the first and second temple, going out into exile in order to intermingle with the nations of the world, all the desires. Only by that one can prepare the truly shattered vessels and with this salad from which we can position the entire vessel in a state where he discovers all the evil, all the wickedness, and to build above it connection. And by that,
in that regard, the Creator answered him, your seed will be a stranger and will serve them and will torment them 400 years.
Meaning, in all these 4 degrees, you have to go down into the world to receive. It will be a land not for you. Will be not in the will to receive, Yishakel, and not in the will to bestow, Yishakel, but only for yourself, and you have to attain it fully. Now you're only in the view to courses of Shosh. And after you attain this coarseness, then you'll begin to climb back up out of there and build the vessel worthy of I shall inherit it.
For them, they will have great labor in Torah and mitzvot.
On this great big will to receive with all its 4 degrees.
This is when he understood that in this way they will certainly obtain the great vessels of reception, and the reply was completely satisfactory.
Because if you have great vessels of reception, you're done. The light is always ready. Okay.
I must say that I read all these items, third, fourth, fifth. When will it all come to an end? Seriously. It's like every time there's a new climax, and there's no content.
Why? Why don't you have any contentment from the path?
I don't know. I understand that.
You shall drink from the river. You just know how to fill yourself on the path and become more attracted to it.
It's true, but at the end of the day, you reach such states where you're helpless.
We went through very special congress. I would say this is the very first congress with such intensity, with such filling, what we went through. Now before us is another convention where we hope we reach an even higher degree.
Okay, so we went through it and now you get greater challenges. You want to yell, okay, enough, give me some quiet, some peace.
It's a sign you're not in the... you don't have a tendency to give him contentment. Rather, you think of your own contentment. So we have to be connected to the group a little more. Guys, you behave in this way as if you're expecting problems. Because they think that's a path of suffering. I am happy with all the wicked that are revealed in each and every moment, because those wicked ones, when they are being revealed, they come to correction. And if they were not revealed, then I don't know if they will ever be revealed and if I'll be able to correct them and carry on. So every evening I go to bed and I say, today such and such wicked ones were revealed, such and such haters, such and such problems, everything. That is what the day brought, thank God. You bless the good as over the bad, because I need them for the revelation of my vessels. I only have to think, how do I construct a connection above it? That's it. Where do we see around the world? Look, you don't know. You sit here, you don't know what's going on in the world. People don't want to know anything about the wisdom of Kabbalah or anything like that. Of course they don't want to know anything about it. So what? It doesn't say anything about our work. It's revealed to me more and more whatever is inside, because whatever I see outside of me, those are my attributes, my inner attributes. So why do I have to feel sorry about it? I shouldn't feel sorry for the evil that's revealed. I have to be rejoicing. The second sign is that I can rise above it. And then it turns out that they stop yelling at me? No, they yell at me. They stop stealing from me? No, they stop. They didn't stop. They don't want to hear something. They're not obligated to hear. I do my part. I understand. Tzvika is unhappy because I do not bring the general end of correction. You go to the festival of revelation. I have two students like that, a couple.
Hello. Sometimes there's this feeling that our desire is unripe, and there are opportunities for correction. You're saying that there are opportunities for correction and we don't see them on the one hand. On the other hand, the desire is like not qualified yet to accept these corrections. So where does it get the opportunity to do the correction?
Incorrect. You receive the desire according to the opportunity. More than that, they create the opportunity and then the desire. The desire cannot be disclosed without the opportunity. Everything that belongs to spirituality, you can see. But first, the future appears and then the present. Because the light is shining onto you from the future state, and then you feel yourself in that state. But it shines on you from the state you have to reach.
So why is there a feeling like I'm a second grader that's given $1 million and I'm told, manage your life now? There's this feeling, very strong feeling, that there's a great force that you don't know how to work with. It's very powerful feeling, and you're like a child. You don't know what to do about it.
What can I tell you? It's written, whatever the mind doesn't do, the time does. Here, the mind would not help us a bit. And time is the number of actions by the light that reforms, that influences a person and changes him. Day in, day out. We'll help you. Okay, friends. You see, he's raising the sign that says that I have to finish. We have something?
Thank you very much, and